In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a sermon about how important you are. Important to God, important to reality, never doubt it. Let nothing dissuade you. This world can be hard, but never let it deprive you of this conviction. You are important. You are cherished by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To develop this theme, let me begin by lifting up a verse from today's psalm. This is from Psalm 139. I'm going to read the version now that we have in the LBW, the one that we sang together. Later in the psalm, I'll probably go back to the King James Version. But I begin with the LBW. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. They were fashioned day by day, when as yet there was none of them. And that's the opening text. Some of you know that my wife, Carol, is chaplain and director of pastoral care at a Lutheran retirement community a bit to the north of the city called the Wartburg in Mount Vernon, New York. It is her privilege, as she makes her rounds, to get to talk with elderly folk who've lived many a year and have fought many a fault and have experienced many things. It is a privilege to talk to them. And sometimes she hears things that are very moving. Sometimes they tend to break the heart. Let me tell you about one of them. Carol was talking with a beautiful elderly couple, head over heels in love with each other after all those years, still head over heels in love with each other. The elderly woman told Carol that she loved Psalm 139, which is our psalm for today. Carol loves that psalm too. So she asked the old lady, "Why is it that you are so very fond of this psalm?" And the elderly lady said this, "When I was young, when I was a girl, my mother told me that I was my father's mistake. And she took it to heart. She took it to heart. Oh, what burdens we human beings are capable of laying upon one another." With that saying, the poor girl was rocked. Poor child, mother and father are the world. If they rock you, you are rocked indeed. If they discourage you, it is a heavy discouragement indeed. So this child was left wondering, well, what was the point of her existence? What was the meaning of it all? And that's a heavy thought for anyone to bear, especially a child. Well, maybe the mother had a hint of good humor in her eye. Maybe it looked as if she was kidding. Maybe this young child grew up knowing, which is obvious to her, that she was loved. Maybe she was able to put that saying out of mind, and yet, when she grew up and she read Psalm 139, she was at last able to say, "No, I am not my father's mistake. I am known. I am beloved. I am cherished of God." And indeed, she is in In the eyes of God, an amazing thought, in the eyes of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are beautiful. You've seen mothers and fathers looking at their newborn baby. They think this is the most beautiful child ever. Why, his eyes are so big and round. Her smile is going to conquer the world. Can anything be more adorable than these little toes? Look at his hand, it's reaching out. It grabs a hold of the finger or anything at hand. As we human parents can take delight in our little ones, believe it, that our Maker, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, takes delight in you. You are beautiful in his sight. It is as if you occupy a hole in the heart of God, and he just would not be right without you. You are, because it is the definite decision and will of the triune God that you should be. So, we can all kind of bow our heads with gratitude at that saying in the Bible after the sixth day of creation, behold, the Lord looked at all he had made, and it was good. It was very good. And Psalm 139 beautifully expresses the point. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise thee, for thou art fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are thy works. Thou knowest me right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought. Intricately wrought. Indeed, you are. Any medical doctor, any sculptor, anyone who has loved somebody else knows how beautifully wrought each of us is. Our Christian faith is audacious. It is large scale. It makes wonderful claims about reality and about you and me. Atheists, some scientists, might say that we are mere cosmic dust, but that is an awfully hard and jagged rock to try to lay your head down and get some sleep. Anyway, that's not what we believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. We believe extraordinary and wonderful things. We think that this world was created by God, that all of the planets, all of the vast motions of planet and sun and photon and atom, all of it is created by God and held in his providence moment by moment. And yet, even grander than this is what Psalm 139 says. I think that God's mastery of his creation through the laws of physics and gravity and mathematics and all that is wonderful, but small potatoes compared to the kind of knowledge that Psalm 139 is talking about. For Psalm 139 speaks of the Lord's knowledge of the human heart. Admire some of these verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Lord sees us when we're sitting down, pondering upon some course of action. He sees our down sitting. He perceives when we have settled upon a course of action and we spring up to go do it. He sees our rising up. If we are able to hide our thoughts from everybody else, we cannot hide them from him, for he sees our thoughts afar off. Text. Thou compassest my path. My path is encompassed by the Lord. It is surrounded by God. And my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The Lord knows the secret springs of our heart. This is good. He knows the good intentions that might spring up from our heart, which we fail to act upon, perhaps because we just don't have enough strength to do it. But the Lord saw that good impulse and will give credit. Likewise, he sees that impulse toward sin, toward wrath, which we might manage to wrestle under control so that nobody else is aware of it. Nobody else knows that internal battle that went on, but God saw it and gives us credit. Why? Why does our Maker have such intimate, continual, accurate knowledge of us? Not only us, but of every human being on the face of the earth, all at once, all accurately, all continually, all simultaneously. I tell you, I'm speaking of a knowledge that is without end. Why? Why does our God have such knowledge of us? Answer, because his love drives him to it. Again, it's like the love of parents for their children. Parents are just uneasy if we go too long without knowing what's going on in the life of our children. Our love drives us in that direction. So the Lord knows us minutely, intimately. There is nothing but innocence and joy and goodwill in his heart. He notes the good and he notes the bad. He notes the good. No one else might know. He notes it and gives us credit. And he notes the bad, not because he is some determined administrator of justice, but rather because his love is such that he's going to have to sit down with us and straighten out some things in our life. Let us pray that it's not a whole lot of bad to be straightened out. Let us hope that major sections of eternity are not being spent straightening out the sin that we had yielded to. But he's going to notice it, and he is going to straighten it out. Take a look at today's first lesson. Here we have one person, a lad, his name is Samuel. I had special affection for Samuel. We named our firstborn son Samuel. We did it after this prophet, Samuel. But he's just one person on the face of this earth. The Lord knew him. The Lord knew him when he was being developed in the womb. The Lord watched over the coming together of his blood vessels in his nervous system and his bones. The Lord knew him and had good work for him to do. Samuel didn't know the Lord, not at first, but the Lord knew him and was with him, and he flourished. So we got that great summary phrase at the end. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that there was a prophet among them. There was Samuel. As it is with Samuel, so it is with you and me. The Lord knows each one of us, cherishes each one of us, and has some role for each one of us to play in the building up of his kingdom. We've contributed what we can so far. Let's try to contribute even more and ask the Lord at the end of each day to take what we have contributed that day, correct it, improve it, use it for the building up of his kingdom. Each one of you has the right to say to the world, do not tamper with me. Do not dismiss me. Do not be cruel to me, for I know someone big. I know God. And I am known by him. How do I know that it is love at play when I say the Lord's knowledge of you is motivated by love? The way I know it is Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus on the cross is the measure of that love that drives the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to know you and to love you, world without